All right, we are live from Wizard World, Winston-Salem, and we have three co-hosts from Golden Spiral Media. It is Jeff, X-Force 11.
And John, a.k.a. The Silver Vox.
And Jada, a.k.a. Story's Voice.
Right. And we just got out of the Gotham panel, which was amazing.
Yes, it was great.
Their interactions on screen and off screen, you know, they have fun, and it was just fun to hear their conversations, their interactions, their playing back and forth. It was a blast. So it was the highlight of the day.
Yeah, I love that they took the time and have really thought about what these characters and what stepping into this universe has meant to them. You can really tell that they've spent some time thinking about this. It's not just, oh yeah, this is something I do. I mean, this is meaningful to them. And like David said, he's going to be, you know, part of this comic book world for the rest of his life, and he's only 17 now.
Batman at 17, that's great. Yeah. I enjoyed greatly the panel because I did get a sense of unity that you can't get from simply watching the show. Yeah. You see how they interact. You see how they are a unit, a family. It's great. I gained a greater appreciation for them because of that. Yeah, it was a really good panel.
Yeah, and it was nice, the questions that people were asking from the audience, thought out for the most part, and kind of gave you insight into the characters. So that's one of the things I appreciate about the cons, is being able to get up close and personal to these folks and ask them questions. And there's a separation there because they're on the stage and you're not, but it's still more personal than some encounters that you might have them. And you know, just seeing walking around the con, you know, it's like, wow, they're really real.
Yeah, just for context, this is the first Comic-Con in Winston-Salem that I know of. I grew up here, and I think this is the first time this city has had anything like this. And it's a much smaller crowd than I think a lot of cons are. Jada, you were at a SuperCon in Raleigh, North Carolina last week. But, you know, we were talking about that the smaller audience, I think, gives it a nice homier feel. And I think that affected the stars that came as well.
Yeah, it's great. Being so small, I guess we should really take advantage of that, because the way these things go, I'm sure it'll blow up and get bigger and bigger and progressively bigger. But this small, intimate feeling really is unique. I really do like it. Like you said, we just see them walking around, not just through a crowd, but actually in the crowd as, you know, as people. At a smaller con like this, they can do that. Yeah. They can let down an extra layer of walls that they don't normally have to. So, yeah, I enjoyed it. I think this is going to be good, this Wizard World.
Yeah, and I appreciate, you know, there's a lot of great vendors here, and we had different stars from different, you know, we had cartoon stars, we had TV stars in kind of sci-fi and fantasy. We've kind of had workshops here on how to cosplay and create your own, you know, weapons and different things like that. So it offered a wide variety of things for everybody, even professional wrestlers and different stuff like that. Kind of wild seeing, you know, Animal and Hurricane Helmsley in there. But like I said, I agree with Jada said, is this... This con is going to grow, and it's going to be fun. We see people out on the con circuit, and some people we don't. But I think it would be really cool to see more of the CW stars out on the cons here, because you know, if they had karaoke, oh my goodness.
Oh my goodness.
It would certainly be better than what we heard a little earlier today. Yes. But anyway.
Yeah, there was no Flash representation here. There was no Supergirl representation. We need to blow this thing up a little bit more.
Yeah, so. Definitely.
Now that we know that Wizard World is a thing here in Winston-Salem, yeah. Hopefully we can get on it next time. Maybe we can even be proactive and get something done.
That's right. Yeah. Call these folks out on Twitter. Get yourself to Winston-Salem.
Yeah, that's how things are done, you know. That's how movements are made.
Well, talking about Gotham, we've got still a ways to wait. More than likely January till Gotham comes back. But, you know, the cast is talking about how, you know, it was, you know, feeling like the end for them and kind of reveling and enjoying every minute of that. But fortunately, while Gotham has some time off, we have the rest of our shows coming back in just a little bit. So, guys, why don't you share things that you're looking forward to in this season?
I'll take it.
Yeah, sure. Oh, wow, the next season of The Flash. That's so much I'm looking forward to. I know they've just introduced, supposedly, a character that is Barry and Iris' daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. We'll see how that turns out and what that what that entails. A future speedster. That's I guess that's par for the course for Flash. You know, I really enjoy the show, and I like the way they've been going with it. So whenever they, I'm not looking forward to anything in particular. So I'm happy enough with whatever they give me. Yeah, I'm just open for whatever storyline. I'm crazily optimistic. Like, oh, is this the storyline? Great, then I'll probably like it. to begin with, until I see it, then I'll nitpick it to death.
Yeah.
Fans, what do you do?
Have we heard anything about Tom Cavanaugh? Like, what his role is going to be? Or is he off the show now? Or?
I'm pretty sure he's not. I haven't heard what his role is going to be or how they're going to go forward with that.
Okay.
Yeah, he's on there, and he's teased, but we haven't heard what version of Harrison Wells.
Yeah,
because at the end of 4, they made it feel like he was, like, gone.
So. Yeah, it felt pretty definite, but, you know, TV. especially if we make enough of a cry about it. Like, no, yeah. Kavanaugh, you got to come back. He seems to really enjoy that role, so I'm pretty sure he won't go too far from it.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. I love that there's so much to The Flash that I still feel like even 4 years in, there's so much material left to explore, and the dynamics of these characters, I'm not tired of them a bit. And yeah, I'm really looking forward to what season 5 brings.
Yeah, I feel you. I think that's why there's nothing in particular I'm looking forward to, because they still have such a wide open field to play in that whatever comes out of that's going to be great, I hope.
Yeah, I like the team dynamic of The Flash and how they have brought the characters in. I'm looking forward to seeing how they're going to develop Caitlin this season with kind of, we've gotten hints that we're going to get to see her dad. We've got, you know, the exploration of her powers. I'm glad they didn't rush that at the end of last season. So that's one of the things that I'm looking forward to, is seeing her character develop and maybe a merging of the two characters, so we don't have to have a flip coin of who's going to be on the show.
Nice. All right, well, talking about Supergirl season 4, we've had a lot of things come out of San Diego Comic-Con that I know Karen and I want to talk about, but I'll just mention briefly here. You know, I'll be honest, at the end of season 3, I was a little disillusioned with where the show was. But I have to say, the steps I've seen this summer, the caliber of folks that they're bringing in for season 4 gives me really, really high hopes. We have Sam Witwer, who played a significant role in Battlestar Galactica 2.0. He was also he's also been the voice of Darth Maul reimagined through Star Wars: The Clone Wars, Rebels, and from the latest Solo: A Star Wars Story. Incredible actor, so I'm really glad to see that he's coming on board as Citizen Liberty. Also, just this week they announced that Brent Spiner is going to be joining the cast as a recurrent star. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what that role is. There's some speculation, but again, this kind of thing gives me hope that the writers haven't sort of, you know, hung this one up on the hook, if you will, and just, okay, let it run its course. I feel like with some of these DC shows that there's times when such an emphasis is put on one or two of them and the other ones sort of coast. And I feel like maybe that was season 3 for Supergirl, and because it had a lot of potential in the beginning, but then they just sort of They just sort of let it go over the season. So I'm really hoping that this is going to be one of those up years for Supergirl. And honestly, just like Karen and I talked about at the end, I really want to see exploration of the events that are happening around Supergirl and how it affects her and what she learns from it personally, just sort of the same format as what they had in season one. And because I think we've gotten away from that with the whole team dynamic, and it's almost like she's become lost in her own show. So I hope they've heard that, and we can start to see some different things there.
So in December we've got the big crossover coming, and we're getting to see Gotham in the CW verse, and we're getting Batwoman. So it's kind of interesting because we've seen some things and heard some mentions, especially in Arrow, about Gotham City, Bruce Wayne. Mm-hmm. But you've got this fully developed character of Batwoman who came along later in his career. So it's going to be interesting to see how they introduce her and how the storyline's going to go. But it's going to be also interesting to think about this is more than likely going to be launching a solo series for her for next season. But it was going to be interesting to see, how do you think the dynamic's going to work as far as who she's going to kind of team up with? Because everybody's going to be there, but...
Well, not everybody.
Yeah.
You know, the Legends have been taken out of this crossover this time, which I...
Oh, really?
Yeah, which I hated to hear. Because I think there's a ton of interaction that she could have with, particularly Katie Lotz's character, and I'd love to see her with the fire guy.
Mick
Rory.
Yeah, Mick Rory. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. Heat Wave. There we go.
Yeah, Heat Wave. Yeah.
But. So would have loved to seen some of those interactions with the Legends. But even so, I think, again, because the just like you said, the natural integration already with Star City, I think that's where probably those bonds are going to be the strongest. And then, obviously, Supergirl will have to be warped in like she always is, and just kind of doing their usual interactions. But yeah, this will be interesting introduction.
Yeah, I hope that maybe there can be some dynamic of her and Supergirl working together, and whether it's mentorship or mutual encouragement to kind of move both of their characters along. I think that would make a good dynamic of having those two women characters and having to be there. So that'd be interesting to see.
Yeah, especially if they can get Alex in again. So.
All right, well, we're also getting a full season of Black Lightning this year.
Yes.
And I'm interested to see how that's going to go, because the 13-episode arc seemed to work well for it. I mean, it seemed that they were fairly tightly written, and it seemed to go well for them. And so now you're extending it out. And I'm kind of apprehensive that maybe we're going to have some less tightness and a little more filler. But I hope not, because I think they did a good job at looking at characters from a totally different point of view that they haven't with the CW shows, with an older superhero and some dynamics of issues that we haven't gotten in the CW verse before.
Yeah, I think that's a very important point, that we haven't had an older villain, hero. We haven't had someone who's been around the block and understands that it's a world of gray more than black and white, which seems to be a lot of the fresher, newer heroes, or how they see the world, black and white, good and evil, and their journey shows them that they're gray areas. You've got to do this, compromise here and there, which I'm assuming is going to be the journey for his children, But it is a very unique dynamic, and I hope they do a lot with it. I would be interested to see, or I would like to see, possibly, kind of like a double mini arc. If they're going to do that, if they're going to extend out that many episodes, I think that would serve better, because if not, exactly as you said, we're just going to get a lot of filler. That's what filler, is, right? Just fills in all those extra spaces. Two little mini arcs might be great, I think.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things that Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. does well, with having those arcs, so that you've got an overarching storyline, but you've got tight arcs, and it gives, you know, the ability to do things that way. And I think more shows could pick that up. And Gotham does that well as well, with the first half, when it was doing longer seasons, a first half and a second half. So, yeah.
Indeed. What are you looking for with, you know, with Gotham? I mean, you got the 10 episodes that are left. What do you want to see wrapped up? What do you want to see explored further?
I'd like to see, I think I would like to see things come to a head in Gotham as far as the villains go, to kind of introduce things, but I'm also wanting to see it take a more Batman role towards the end, where we may see Bruce's character leaving Gotham at the end to go get more training overseas, so that, you know, later on, you know, he's had that journey like we've seen in the movies where he's got that training. And so I would like to see him really realize that he can do so much for the city and he can progress, but he's got to have that training to step up to these villains, because truthfully, the villains have been a highlight of this series, and they have really pushed the story along. And in order for Batman to rise up, I think that he's going to have to realize that he's going to have to step up his game, and he can't do that just staying in the city. So if I, you know, if they can kind of convince him of that, I'd like to see that. I'd like to see Lucius play a little bit more of a role this season, and kind of advising him and giving him some of the tech, because he's underplayed in the series so far. And we were really left with, you know, we had multiple Ivies last season, but we really didn't get more than one story arc with our new Ivy. And so I feel like that just got cut because they had to do time. So maybe if they can bring that back in, that would be interesting to me too.
If I may, they've come so far with Harvey Bullock and Donald Logan. This past season particularly, I just went on and on and on and on about how what an amazing job that he did, and the relationship that he had with Jim Gordon. Just fantastic stuff. And so I really hope that they just have another huge step for him forward in his dynamic, and whatever role that takes place in the GCPD or within the community or whatever else. I really want to see him end on a really high note.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, he's really brought a lot of life to that character. I mean, I was familiar with the character mostly from the animated series.
Oh, yeah.
And he was always a great character. You know, he was always a certain kind of foil that was needed, and it wasn't ever really for one person, but he's just a great character. And his representation of Harvey Bullock is wonderful. I love it to no end. Yeah, he breathes life into that character. He really feels like that dude.
Yeah, Harvey is an interesting character, and Donald Logue has just, you know, brought it in bringing that up. And I think one of the things that I really enjoy about Gotham is the dynamics between the characters, of how each of them bring everybody up a level. And that's the thing we heard in the panel too, is just how all the actors bring it, and they don't want to let anybody down. And so that's a cool thing to see, because he definitely has that range, and he does a good job.
Yeah, I'm very impressed, because originally I thought, well, you can't have Gotham without Batman, of course. I didn't realize it was just going to be a study in villainry. Yeah. I mean, which is what we actually needed, because we have all the stories of Batman. Not all the stories, but we have many stories of Batman and all kinds of heroics in Gotham. It was kind of ingenious to be like to establish the villainry that he's going to be fighting later, all the villains, in a TV show. I don't know if that's really what they intended to do, but it works.
Yeah.
It worked really well. That's why I think you're absolutely right. The next logical step would be for him, having experienced all of this, he knows what Gotham is like, so Bruce has to set out to find the extra that he needs to be better.
And I was excited to see that after this, Heller and Cannon, I guess both, are going to explore the back history of Alfred in a separate series. Not that Sean Pertwee is going to be that character, but I'm signed up. I mean, that sounds like an excellent idea.
Yeah, I'm interested to see what they do with that character. And like I said, this is younger Alfred. And so I'm interested to see how that's going to go and what that's going to look like for him as a character. But I think the production team has done a really good job, and you know, they've grown a whole lot through this season. So in the last few seasons.
And not to be left out out in the cold, but we've got Arrow season 7 as well.
Mm-hmm.
The trailer looks really, really good for this. I know Arrow has had its detractors here in the last few seasons, but I am really on board, and I think it's really, really strong, and looking forward to what season 7 will bring as well.
Yeah, I think they're trying to get back to the more of a season 1 feel. I think if they do tighter writing, it's going to be good. I'm glad to see that they're bringing Roy Harper back. I think he's an interesting character, and the dynamic between he and Ollie is very good, and so I'm interested to see that. It will be interesting to see who we have as villains in Arrow this season. It's just hard to top Destro. I mean, he just does an excellent job. Minute just does an excellent job playing him, and so I think it's just hard to top that. And so I'm interested to see who they're going to bring in. But I do like the family dynamic they introduced in the last season, and this really gelled well. And so I'm interested to see. It was just too divisive for me in a lot of the middle of the season, just because of the us versus them thing. Mm. And I got so tired of that, and on both sides. And I was more frustrated at the writers than I was the characters. And that's where you failed me. You can make me feel something, and you can make me hate the bad guy. You can make me wonder what's going on. But when you make me dislike your writing style, you've gone too far. So that was my complaints. But I'm anxious to see what they're going to do.
I feel you. I'm very anxious to see what's going to happen on Arrow as well. I believe they're coming in with a whole new showrunner. Do they do showrunners?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
A whole new showrunner, possibly a whole new feel. It would be good to return to that season 1 feel, but not forgetting everything that's happened.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes when shows reboot and stuff like that, or just simply change direction, like with a new showrunner or just under a new vision, they really tend to ignore a lot of the lessons that characters have learned and the show itself has learned from the past. So that doesn't happen. But I'm down.
Supergirl. Supergirl.
Well, they got some new staff this year too, thankfully. But I feel you. I feel you.
All right. Well, guys, it has been a blast getting together with you here at Wizard World Winston-Salem. Yes. So,
mm-hmm.
Love our Golden Spiral Media Podcast Network team, and anytime we get the chance to get together, it is a good thing. So, thank you, Jeff, for getting us recorded and coordinated.
Yep. Thanks.